بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, last night we heard the 22nd juz being recited in the Taraweeh Salah. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about an incident that had taken place between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, where after a few years in Medina Munawwara, as Sahaba radiallahu anhum began to become stronger and they began to conquer different lands and win different campaigns, so a lot of mali ghanimat, spoils of war, would come into Medina Munawwara. So on one occasion, the Azwaj al-Mutahharat came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and they made a request to him that, O Nabi of Allah, now that Allah has opened things up for you, why don't you increase our stipend, our allowance that you give us as your wives? So now Allah has given you a bit more, why don't you also give us from there? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that give your wives a choice. That you have one of two options. إِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا. If your goal, your objective is the things of this dunya, وَزِينَتَهَا, you want the adornments of dunya, and you are asking for more than is necessary for you, then فَتَعَالَيْن أُمَتِّعَكُنَّ. Then come to me, I'll happily give it to you. But Allah's command, Allah's decision, وَأُسَرِّحْكُنَّ سَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا. I will have to amicably part ways with you and divorce you. This is the command of Allah. On the other hand, وَإِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَإِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ. If your goal, your objective, your desire is Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your goal is the Akhirat, then فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَدَّ لِلْمُحْسِنَاتِ مِنْ كُنَّ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared a great reward for those of you who do good. So this was the directive given to the Azwaj al-Mutahharat that you have to choose. One is, on one hand, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving you that which is sufficient for you. But if you want anything more than this, then you allow him to divorce you amicably, or you choose Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives this choice to Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. And without a doubt, or without any hesitation, she says, O Nabi of Allah, I choose you, I choose Allah and the Ad-Dar Al-Akhirah, I choose the Akhirah. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam poses the same question to the other Azwaj al-Mutahharat, and likewise, each one of them make that decision and that choice that we choose to remain with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this was the choice that was given to them, and once this incident had taken place, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now issues a few commands. And different directives are given to the Azwaj al-Mutahharat. And why this is so important, respected brothers and elders, we find these were the golden standard when it came to women. From the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam till the day of Qiyamah, if any woman is searching for a role model, searching for attributes and qualities that she needs to bring within her life, then this was the golden standard. The Azwaj al-Mutahharat, the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, not only in dunya but in akhirat also, they will be the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is not just for our masturat women folk at home listening over the receiver, but for us also. As fathers, what direction are we pushing our daughters in? What type of tarbiyat are we giving them? What type of mindset are we creating within them? So these are a few attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. So Allah says, يَا نِسَاءَ النَّبِيِّ لَسْتُنَّكَ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُنْ فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. The first directive, first command Allah gives, is that when you are forced to speak to some male, some person of the opposite gender, and we find that many people would come to the house of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, people would come to ask him questions, to find out different things, to ask him to assist them. And many a times Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was gone out on some other errand, some other work. So the Azwaj al-Mutahharat were forced to answer these people, or to at least tell them where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was. So this directive is given that you are, if you are put in that situation where you have to speak to some person of the opposite gender, then فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. Then do not speak in a soft tone. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the voice of a woman naturally is a sweet voice. So do not speak in the normal voice of yours. Rather alter your voice. Speak in a harsh voice or a harsh tone. Why? فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ. Allah says, because that person who has some sickness in his heart, he has some desire in his heart, then his desires will be aroused, and this can lead to a great amount of difficulty, a great amount of trouble. Now understand, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to? We are speaking to the best of women. The wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah is saying, you also speak in a harsh tone. And why is Allah saying this? Because those in whose hearts may be a little bit of doubt, a little bit of marad, Again, who is being addressed or who is being spoken about? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We are speaking about Khairul Qurun, the best of times. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is alive, is present, and his companions are coming to his noble wives to ask them questions. Allah is saying, ensure that you do not speak in your normal voice because this can cause trouble and friction. So we can imagine in today's time, respected brothers and sisters, how much more caution and care our women folk need to take. Sometimes a woman is put into that position. Many a times our women are ordering things over the phone, they're speaking to the cashier, speaking to the person in the store. So how careful we have to be that they do not speak in such a tone, such a voice that is going to create desire in that person. And many a times we find that people make the statement, a person will say, my heart is clean. My heart is clean, her heart is clean. So why are you having doubt? So the answer that we give is that, yes, we have no doubt your heart is clean, but we have serious doubts about Shaitan and his intentions. When Shaitan is there, then what is he going to cause? What is he going to create? So here the words of Quran are crystal clear that فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. And here also, some translations of Quran, we find the translation is given, do not speak in a seductive voice. But here ulama say this is not correct. The Azwaj Mutahharat, it's inconceivable that they would speak in a seductive voice to somebody else. Rather what is meant, do not speak in your normal voice also. Alter your voice, keep it short, keep it curt, and don't speak in that soft tone because it's going to create desire in that person. So this is the first command, the first directive. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Then Allah says, whatever you have to say, your work needs to get done, you say that much and leave it at that. There's no need to make extra conversation. Second command, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. Allah says, remain firmly attached to your homes. Do not leave unless it is absolutely necessary. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the place of the woman within the home. Now this also, in today's time, because of the different agendas, ideologies that are being pushed, and we mentioned before also that this push of feminism, which is all over social media, on different platforms, we hear different people speaking about it. So when it comes to ayat like this, it is almost as though the Muslim feels apologetic, that rather we don't speak about this, because it doesn't agree, it doesn't gel with society and their morals and values. But the Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will remain haqq till the day of qiyamah. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. And reality, this is the maqam, the high position and status Allah has given to our women folk. Where we find those who are pushing this agenda of feminism, then they will say, how oppressive is this? That the husband is making his wife into a slave. That she must stay at home and she must take what she gets. She can't go out, he's clipping her wings. And he's suppressing her, he's keeping her down. But in reality, all we have to do is look at it from a different angle. Ulama say, in reality, Allah has honored the woman so much that Allah has made their husbands the khadim. The husband is your slave. You need anything, the husband must go and get it for you. Bread and milk is out, the husband must go to the shop and get it. You need clothing, you need anything, he must go out of the house and get it for you. You sit at home in your warm bed. Time for Fajr Salah also, the woman gets out of her bed, she walks a few steps to her bathroom, makes wudu, gets onto the musalla, performs her salah, she's back in the bed, the bed is still warm. And the reward is the same for the husband who has to leave in the cold winter's morning. He's got to put on his jacket, put on his socks, get into the car. Then it's dangerous at that time of the morning. He has to come to the masjid, wait for the jamaat salah. And that entire exercise takes him half an hour. For her, it took her 5 minutes, the reward is the same. So what maqam, what position Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them? So Allah says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. Remain within your homes. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. Third command is that if you have to leave the home for some need, and here ulama have explained the different reasons that a woman will leave the home, perhaps it's some shari'i need, a woman is going for umrah, for hajj, or she is going for some dini program where the laws of hijab are taken care of, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are upheld, or she is going for some walima, whatever it may be, or she is going for some human need, she needs to see the doctor, or she's going out, she has to go to the hospital to give birth, whatever it may be. But if you are forced to leave the home, then لا تبرجن تبرج الجاهلية الأولى. Do not expose your beauty as used to be done in the period of jahiliyyah. In other words, completely conceal, cover yourselves up. Do not become a target for those who want to look at you. So when you leave the home, the objective and the goal of your dressing is to completely conceal and cover you, that you should not be attractive. And here, as Mawlana Ilyas Patel Sahab, Dam Barakatuh, mentions, that the cloaks that our women are wearing, many a times it's just a cloak in name. But rather, it's more like a black dress. That's what it is. So he says that cloak needs a cloak on top of it to cover it. So the objective, the goal is that you should cover up completely. You should not expose your beauty. The other verse of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions clearly, the beauty of a woman is restricted to certain individuals. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا لِبُعُولَتِهِنَّ. That is reserved for her husband, for her father, for her son, for her brother. They are allowed to see those body parts of that woman. But otherwise any other man, this has to be concealed, it has to be covered up. And this is for the betterment of society. This is not oppression, this is not suppression, it is not taking away the rights of women, but rather it is their maqam, their status. The example ulama have given, a person has some item, some gold bangle or gold brick, which is very valuable. So no person puts that in the window on display. He keeps it completely hidden, completely closed up, covered up. It's in the safe, then also it's wrapped up. Nobody must come to see it. Why? This is something that is very valuable. So likewise, Allah has given our women folk, our masturat, that value and that worth. And therefore they have to cover themselves. So this is the third command. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning all of this, now Allah says, وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةِ. Ensure that you establish salah. وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاةِ. Ensure that you are punctual with your zakat. وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And obey Allah and His Rasul in whatever commands they give to you. But we can imagine salah, which is the greatest ibadat, 5 times a day fard salah. This comes after all of these commands of haya and modesty. What message is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving to us? Is that when a woman will bring these qualities of haya and modesty within her life, then what she will do from within the four walls of her home, it will take 10 men to achieve that same amount of work. What she'll do for the deen of Allah, and how much of fikr and concern she'll make, it will take 10 men to do the same amount of work. When she comes onto deen, onto haya, onto modesty, onto taqwa, then how she'll turn that house upside down. The children also will know, we have to start our day with Bismillah, with Surah Yasin. She'll check on them, who's your friends, the company you are keeping. The husband also is afraid, it's salah time, my wife is going to shout, why I haven't gone to the masjid. But when the woman will lose these qualities of haya, of modesty, and her fikr, her objective will not be the akhirat, then that entire house is spoiled and is lost. The father, as men we know, we understand, we leave home in the morning, we go on to work. The majority of the time that the children spend is with the mother at home. So when her mind is straight, her goal is straight, her objective is correct, then that entire house will be moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah explains the wisdom behind these commands. Again, as we mentioned, this is not oppression. But إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Allah says that Allah wishes to remove all impurity, all dirt, all filth, spiritual, from you, O أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. And Allah wishes to purify and to cleanse you completely. So again, these laws, these commands, these directives, one is for our masturat who are listening, that they should try their utmost to bring these qualities, these attributes within their lives as far as possible. And again, a very important point ulama have explained. As one objection is raised here, that people say that these commands, these directives have been given to the azwaj mutahharat, and therefore it is restricted, confined to them. It doesn't apply to other women. It only applies to the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But later on in the 22nd juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly states, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ. That O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to your spouses, say to your daughters, وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and say to all the believing women that they should cover themselves up with their jalabib, with their niqab, with their hijab. So one pious person was asked, one woman came to him and asked, that is this command of hijab, of niqab, does it apply to us as well? So beautifully he answered, he says, see, in this verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned 3 categories of women. If you regard yourself to be from one of these 3, then it applies to you. So Allah has mentioned the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa nisa'il mu'mineen, and the believing woman. If you regard yourself to be from them, then this verse applies to you. But if you regard yourself to be out of these 3 categories, then you don't have to do it. So very importantly, ulama explained, when it comes to these commands of hijab, of segregation between genders, of our masturat covering themselves, and likewise all the other commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that apply to us as well. One is that a person is not fulfilling the command of Allah, but he understands what is the command of Allah. And a person understands, or he acknowledges, it is my weakness. For various different reasons, perhaps the way we have been brought up, or the society, peer pressure, or what family members may say, various different reasons. For some people it is difficult to just come onto the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no problem, as long as we are making an effort, as long as we are trying. When a person acknowledges, he understands what is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will be making tawbah. That I'm not fulfilling the commands of Allah 100%. Oh Allah, you make me maaf, you forgive me. Then there is hope one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create the situation or create the avenue for that person to bring 100% deen into his life. Whether it comes to us, whether it comes to our women folk. But we should never ever fall into the trap. Ulama say, mashayikh say, that we have become so adept at placing ointment and balm over our nafs. We have enough ointment to paste over everything that we are doing wrong. So a person has that weakness in him, he doesn't want to fulfill some command of Allah, but we'll tell ourselves that no, it's not so serious, it's not so important, there's some leeway, there's difference of opinion. These are clear-cut commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person is struggling to fulfill the command of Allah, Allah grants a respite. Allah is tolerant. But as long as we acknowledge that, oh Allah, I am weak, this is my own weakness, but I fully accept and I believe in your commands, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open it up for that person, inshallah. And thereafter, we commence with Surah Yasin, which we then completed in tonight's Taraweeh Salah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that town which Allah had sent Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam messengers to. And Mufassirin have mentioned that this town most likely was the town of Antakya, Antioch, which is situated in Turkey. So Allah sends messengers to them. إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا. They belie these messengers, they reject them. فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثِ. Allah sends a third Nabi, but again they reject his message also. And then there is a sincere person who comes. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْسَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلُ يَسْعَى. Mufassirin have mentioned that his name was Habib. So this person was a person who was afflicted with leprosy. He was very ill, physically very weak. But he had fikr and concern for his people. So he says, oh my people, اِتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Why don't you accept the message of these Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam? اِتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Follow those people who are not asking you for any remuneration. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. They have been guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, he attempts to explain to them, but these people are not happy with what he is saying. Eventually, they attack him and they kill him. So this person, Allah then explains to us what happens after he leaves this world. قِيلَ دْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. It is said to this Habib that enter the gardens of Jannah, you did your duty. When he enters Jannah and he sees the bounties, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he say? قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قُومِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعْلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. He says, if only I could show to my people why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven me and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored me. The bounties and blessings Allah has given me in Jannah, I wish I could show it to my people. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, what a sincere person he was, that in his life he had their best interests at heart, and after he passes away also still he wants them to be guided. So nasaha qawmahu fi hayatihi wa ba'da mamatihi. Even after he leaves this world, he wants them to be guided. So this is the lesson that we learn from Surah Yasin. Here ulama explain Surah Yasin is not just a surah to be reserved for the starting of some wedding, some walima, or to be read at some janazah house that we'll read a few Yasins and we leave it to that. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned the virtues. One is when it comes to the recitation. That person who will read Surah Yasin in the morning before starting his day, whether it be before Fajr, after Fajr Salah, one of the first things he does in the morning, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of his needs for that day. So all his needs for that day, his needs, financial needs, physical needs, spiritual needs. Now in the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, we have so many spiritual needs. For Allah to cleanse our heart, for Allah to give us the chance to make ibadat, to accept our ibadat. So the person who will start his day with Surah Yasin, Allah will take care of his needs for him. And the hadith then mentions that person who will read Surah Yasin at night, before going to bed. And he does this with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah will forgive all of his sins, and the surah will intercede for him on the day of Qiyamah. So these are the virtues of just reading Surah Yasin. And then more than that, ulama explain, is that we allow ourselves to take lesson from what has been mentioned here. That he says, because of me following the Anbiya, because of me accepting their message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored me and Allah has given this status and this position to me. So these are a few lessons from last night's juz and tonight's juz. Again, respected brothers and elders, we mentioned last night, we mentioned again that the objective is not just for us to listen to these incidents or these lessons, but to make amal. For us to try and make some effort to bring this into our lives. However we can, in our own small broken way. But as long as we are taking, Ma'anayim Sahab Dham Barakatuhum always mentions that we have to take those baby steps towards Allah. So even if it's those small steps, but as long as we are moving in the right direction, then again there is hope that one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that decision to pull us towards Him, and then nobody can pull us back. Allah give us tawfiq. We're supposed to read from this kitab. Time has run out already. Inshallah, we'll read one of the other nights. We'll make dua. الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا ذا القوة المتين يا راحم المساكين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام O my most kind Allah, most kareem Allah, most raheem Allah, most forgiving, most merciful, most compassionate Allah. O my Allah, give us tawfiq to completely comply with your commands, O my Allah, to follow every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O my Allah, you have honored us, you have given us iman and Islam, O my Allah. O my Allah, we cannot thank you for these bounties and gifts, O my Allah. You made us from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You honored us, O my beloved Allah, that we are the last ummah to come into this world, the first to enter Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. O my Allah, give us tawfiq to recognize our Nabi, O my Allah. Give us tawfiq to learn and understand every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O my Allah, give us tawfiq to make amal on every sunnah, O my Allah, to bring it within our lives, O my Allah. O my Allah, we have heard so much, we have learned so much. O my Allah, you make it easy for us to make amal and practice upon it, O my Allah. Give us tawfiq to make our lives valuable in your court, O my Allah. O my Allah, you guide us to do that which is pleasing to you, O my Allah. O my Allah, guide us every step of our lives, O my Allah. So many decisions that we are faced with on a daily basis, O my Allah. O my Allah, you know the thoughts that go through our minds and our hearts, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you know how many times we are faced with temptation, with guna and sin. How weak we have become, O my Allah, that we just fall prey to it, O my Allah. O my Allah, we have raised our hands before you. On this Mubarak night, O my Allah, after performing salah in your home, O my Allah. O my beloved Allah, we are begging you and pleading with you. Forgive us, O my Allah. Forgive us for our gunas and sins, O my Allah. O my Allah, we thought you weren't watching us, my Allah. We thought that we were alone, nobody knew what we were up to. But you knew every plan we made, O my Allah. You knew the thoughts that went through our mind, O my Allah. You knew those secret conversations that took place, O my Allah. O my Allah, we ask you for maaf, O my Allah. We ask you to forgive us completely, O my Allah. O my Allah, you have the power to change our evil into good deeds, O my Allah. O my Allah, we have bucket loads of gunas and sins, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we have heard that you dearly love to forgive the sins of your slaves, O my Allah. Our Nabi told us, you are afu, you are ghafoor, you are ghaffar, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you love forgiving sins, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you are an embodiment of forgiveness and mercy, O my Allah. O my Allah, you love to show your shan and your status, O my Allah. Show your shan of forgiveness, O my Allah. Forgive us on this Mubarak night, O my Allah. Make the decision for our hidayat, O my Allah. O my Allah, if you will forgive us, our dunya will be made. Our qabr will be made. Our akhirat will be made, O my Allah. O my Allah, we have become weak, my Allah. We can barely stand up in salah. We can barely open and read a few pages of Quran, O my Allah. But O my Allah, you accept our broken efforts in your court, O my Allah. Despite us being unworthy and undeserving, O my Allah, you accept us, O my Allah. Ya Allah, accept us, accept our parents, our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, our uncles and aunts, our children, grandchildren, our families and friends, the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant qabooliyat and acceptance to all the good works and programs that are taking place, O my Allah. Wherever people are in the i'tikaf, accept the i'tikaf, O my Allah. Make it spiritually uplifting for them, O my Allah. Let them find you in these Mubarak nights, O my Allah. Ya Allah, all other deeni programs and works that are taking place, accept it, O my Allah. O my Allah, especially in our country, protect our masajid, O my Allah. Protect our madaris, protect our khanqas, protect all the good works of deen.
All the institutes that are teaching your deen and the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, so many people have become hufaz, oh my Allah, accept them, make them true ashab of Quran, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, accept each and every one of us, oh my beloved Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, fulfill all the desires that are within our hearts, oh my Allah. Cleanse and purify our hearts, oh my Allah, when the time comes for us to leave this world, let it be with kalima upon our tongues, oh my Allah. Don't let it be in some condition where we are in your disobedience, we are breaking some command of yours, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, give us the realization that maut can strike at any time, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, give us the tawfiq to prepare and to be ready for that day, that meeting with you, oh my Allah. Let us look forward to it, make it the best day of our lives, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we know there is no guarantee. We have seen young people leaving this world, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we have seen people who are not sick, but there was nothing wrong with them, they just dropped dead and left this world, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, still we didn't take heed, we didn't take lesson, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to prepare for that meeting with you, oh my Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, accept us completely, oh my Allah. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.